I don't know about you, but I can just email that to my parents and just say, sums it up, right? And those two powerful phrases, I'm sorry and thank you, I think resonate with many of us, because we are going to be looking into this fourth commandment today about honoring our parents and what that looks like. See, if you've been with us the past few weeks, we're in this series called God's Top 10. And the idea here is that God has given us instructions to live. He has given us the top 10 things to live by. The top 10 things to build our lives, values to build our lives around. And so really what he does is he starts with God first. The first commandment is to put God first above anything else and to have no other gods, to have no other idols. And then we have the second commandment, which says, do not misuse his name. And it's amazing at how oftentimes we'll say God's name in vain whenever we stub our toe or whenever we say that God is calling me to do something where it clearly contradicts his word. And for us, we say, oh, it's just a word, it's just a name, but it's not. It's a name above all names, and there's power in his name. And so that's the second commandment. And then the third commandment we looked at last week was observing the Sabbath. Every day to take a time out to rest, and to be with God and to be with the church family. And so the first three, if you look at them, God first, misusing his name, and the Sabbath, really have to do with how we treat and how we worship and respect God. And so now the remaining seven that we're going to look at this month of July is going to be focused on others. So we have the two tables. We have the first three commandments really have to do with how we treat and worship God. And now we're going to be expanding that horizontally to look at how we treat others. So today, here is the fourth commandment. It is, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you. Now, typically, whenever I speak about this commandment to adults, here's what I get. I get a round of applause. Like, yeah, that's right. Listen up, kids, listen up. This is my commandment right here. And it's funny because I don't get that with any other commandments, but I get it with this commandment. I get a round of applause, sometimes a standing ovation, saying, come on, kids, this is for you. It's not for me, but this is for you. You got to listen to me. And it absolutely is for your kids. In fact, let's just bring them back in here, all right? They need to hear this. They absolutely do. So it is totally for your kids. And if your kids aren't here, send them the link to the podcast. Because, yeah, they absolutely do need to hear it. It is absolutely for them. But here's the deal. What we're going to discover this morning is this commandment is not just for your kids to listen up to you. All right? It's actually a lot more than that. And for all of us at every stage of life, as we start off as children, but then as we grow into young adults, and then as we grow into full adulthood, that this commandment still applies to us. And how we honor and treat and respect and affirm our parents, even though that we are still called to honor our parents, that application or the implication of the word honor is going to adjust just a little bit. It's going to change just a little bit as we go through the different stages in life. And now you may be saying to yourself as well, Mike, I got you beat. Because guess what? Both of my parents, they're not around anymore. They're in heaven. So I am completely scotch-free of this commandment. This does not apply to me anymore. Oh, yes, it does. Because one of the implications of this commandment is not just to honor those who are mothers and fathers biologically, but it's really expanding the implication of this idea of authority. So who is it in your life that has authority? Well, for sure, pastors, for sure, teachers, right? Doctors, even those in governing authority, okay? And I know the least thing you can think of is, of all things to do to a politician, is to honor and respect them. I know, but you know what? That's exactly what we're called to do. We are called to honor those in elected office. And we may say to ourselves, yeah, but I didn't vote for them, or I disagree with their policies. And that's fine. You can absolutely disagree with their policies. But whenever we start to villainize them, or we start to accuse them of their character, or we start to really tear after them, that's when we're breaking this commandment. I got to tell you that in the 90s, I remember having spent a lot of time talking about this fourth commandment, talking about not only this command, but even Jesus' words, where he says this. He says that we're to love our enemies, not just those who do good to us, but we're to love our enemies, and we're to pray for those who persecute us. And so really, with politicians who you disagree with, when was the last time that you really spent time in prayer for them? And I got to tell you that when I was in the 90s and I was a kid and we were really looking at this verse, I remember being surrounded by Christians, professing Christians who said, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Okay, Christians. And here we are. We're watching President Clinton give a speech. And the whole time they're booing and they're hissing and they're issuing cuss words about him. And I just thought to myself, I just don't know if that's what Jesus would do. And I don't think it is. And especially coming out of this fourth commandment, it applies to anyone who has some sort of authority in your life. Honor those in authority. And so really we can look at this commandment, this fourth commandment, and I've been saying all along that the reason God gives us these commandments is because it's just going to make life easier. It really is. And it's going to be the best way to live. And it's really for our good. So here's why God gives us this commandment. For this one in particular, it's because there are no perfect parents. Surprise, surprise, but there are no perfect parents. See, if parents were perfect, then it'd be easy to honor them. It'd be easy to respect or to obey them. But it's whenever they make mistakes that all of a sudden we get on our high horse and we say to ourselves, I don't know if I really want to obey this person. I don't know if I really want to honor or respect this person. See, the truth is that only our Heavenly Father is perfect. And so every other parent is going to be imperfect. So we all have imperfect parents and we all are imperfect parents. But here's the deal. It really does something to your heart. It's going to shape you in a very powerful way. Whenever you look at someone in authority, so whether it's your boss or whether it's your parents, who are imperfect, and when they're asking you to do something to honor them anyways, that's a huge growth opportunity there. It's going to really shape your heart. So what God is doing here is before he really gets into here's how we're to treat others, he's going to first start off by establishing order. And he's going to first start off by establishing authority and respect and honor. And so what this instituting is that he's instituting that we're first to honor our parents. And really think about it. See, especially as a child, if we learn to honor our parents as children, then whenever we grow up and we get a job, we're going to carry that respect and that honor. We're going to carry that into the workforce whenever we have a boss who is also, did I mention, is going to be imperfect, right? And so what we're going to do is we're going to take those lessons that we've learned and the ability to respect and to honor, and then we can carry that through life. And as well, whenever we become parents, that we too will parent the same way that we learned. And so really, this is as well, it's the first commandment that offers us a promise. Did you catch that? See, it's honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land. So in other words, what God is saying here is that he's giving us this promise that it's for our good. And so we've looked at why, but the question is how. And well, really, it depends upon what stage of life that you're at. So here's the first stage. As a child, I honor my parents by obeying and respecting them. So whenever you're a child, how you honor is obedience. Ephesians 6 says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So we have the fourth commandment to honor your mother and father, but we have the New Testament who even spells it out for us. Children, here is your role. Your role is obedience. And so here's the deal, for those of you who are in this stage of life, as long as you're under your parents' roof, as long as you rely on them for anything, for insurance, for gas, for cell phones, then guess what? They get to call the shots. And for you, you get to obey them, you get to do what they say, and not in a grudgingly kind of I guess I'll do it kind of thing, but like this, in three ways. Are you ready for this? willfully, pleasantly, and timely. Let me say that again. Willfully, pleasantly, and timely. So the only time that you would not obey your parents, this is not talking about a blind obedience, and here's what I mean. There are times when maybe you don't obey your parents, and that would only be if what they're asking you to do is contradicting God's laws. All right, so we have God's laws over man's laws. And so, for example, and I'm just going to make up this really extreme situation that I hope does not really ever happen, but let's say that you guys were to have a family outing this afternoon where you decided that, hey, as a family, we're going to go rob a bank. And they ask you, since you can drive, they're going to ask you to be behind the wheel and be their getaway car. All right, in that case, then you would say no. You'd say, no, I'm not going to obey you for that. So yeah, any time that they're going to ask you to do something that contradicts God's laws, then you say no. But if it's things like taking out the trash, or if it's things like helping around the house, then your role is obedience. Willful, pleasant, and timely. And I should also mention as well as this is that we shouldn't ever submit to abuse. And here's what I mean is that abuse is sinful, and abuse is really breaking the design that God has for order. So all of what he's doing in this fourth commandment here is he's establishing order, and abuse contradicts that. Abuse is going against that. And so I will say this, that if you are in this situation and you are being abused, that you're not to keep quiet about it, and you would never use the fourth commandment to justify it, but rather what you're to do is you need to speak out. So come find a safe adult, myself, Pastor Mike, a teacher at school. You need to speak out, and so I'll say that as well. So we looked at that as a child. Now, as a young person, I honor my parents by accepting and appreciating them. Accepting and appreciating them. You see, it is kind of interesting. Whenever you grow up, you start to see some of your faults in your parents. And it's kind of weird. Because whenever you're a kid, you think that dad is a superhero. He is the strongest man in the universe. And then all of a sudden, you grow up a little bit and he's moving a couch and now he's got a hernia. All right? And you think to yourself, huh, he's not as invincible as I thought he was. Or maybe it's this, maybe you find out that he's lost his job. Or maybe you find out that your mom has opened a credit card that she hasn't told anyone about. See, as you get older, you start to kind of see some of the faults in our parents. But here's how we're to honor them despite their imperfections. We are called to accept and appreciate them. Accept and appreciate. So when we look at acceptance means a couple things. Number one, it means that you're realizing that God used them to bring you in the world. So you should have this appreciation. And it doesn't matter if your upbringing was excellent, or if your upbringing was mediocre, or even if your upbringing was miserable, is that we still get to look at our parents and say, you know what? Despite all of these circumstances, you're the reason that I've come into this world. And so we literally, by them giving us life, we literally owe them our lives. They brought you into the world. So acceptance also means listening to what they have to say. So at this point, now that you're kind of growing up a little bit, now at this point, they're going to start giving advice, maybe advice on life skills, like, well, for example, how to do the laundry, okay? But it could also be financial advice, or it could be advice on buying a house and things like that. And what we're called to do is we're called to listen to them. Now, we don't at this stage have to do exactly everything that they say, but we should listen to them. We should give it a shot. We should actually give them an ear. We should give them our attention. And so it's at least paying the courtesy of listening to them. Proverbs 23 says this, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." And so we are here to listen, and we can disagree at times without being disagreeable, right? So acceptance includes realizing that they brought you in the world. It includes listening to what they have to say, and then acceptance as well includes forgiveness. So here's the deal, is that especially as family, where we're in the house together and we're growing up together, we're around each other all the time, it's just inevitable that there's going to be times when you hurt people and they hurt you. So sometimes there are just times where all sin has consequences, and sometimes those consequences are carried by other people around us. Sometimes it affects people around us. And so there's going to be times when you make mistakes and you hurt other people, and there's going to be times where they make mistakes and they hurt you. But here's the deal, is that families must be built upon forgiveness. It must be built upon forgiveness, kind of like the video, where it starts off saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And you know, that really is the first step to reconciliation, is if there's things that you can apologize for, go apologize for them. We're not called to sit back and let them make the first move. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says that we're the first ones to do it. We're the initiators of this reconciliation. And so if there's things that we can apologize for, then go. Go apologize for them. And so we start off by saying, I'm sorry, and here's the things that I'm sorry for. And then as well, whenever someone comes to us and apologizes, you know, it's really easy to brush them off. Have you ever tried to apologize to someone and they just kind of say, oh, it's no big deal, or oh, don't worry about it? Well, all they're doing there is they're just brushing you off. And they're not actually forgiving you. And so it's hard. It is extremely hard to say the words, I forgive you, whenever someone comes to us with an apology. It's hard to say that because beforehand, we're holding on to it. And sometimes we even hold it above them. Look what you did to me. But now, whenever we say, I forgive you, what we're saying is, I'm releasing all of that, and I'm no longer holding it above you. And it's difficult. It's really hard to say that sometimes. Excuse me. So families must be built upon forgiveness. And so here's the deal. So God gave you your parents for a reason. And even if you were mistreated, just understand this. Understand that is not God's will. It's not like God was in heaven planning this to happen, wanting it to happen. But rather, here's what the Bible does say. The Bible says that God, even though that he doesn't desire mistreatment, even though that's not his will, what he promises to do is he promises to take even the darkest situation, the most broken situation, and he promises to bring good, and he promises to bring life and light out of that. And so part of that working is forgiveness. And it's doing your part to release your hurt where you're no longer holding on to that. So we've looked at as a child and as a young person. Then finally, here's the last stage. As an adult, I honor my parents by two things, by affirming and not abandoning them. By affirming and not abandoning them. You see, here's the thing. As time goes on and as the older we get, it's just culturally acceptable to get less respect. I don't know why that is, but it's true. I talk to people all the time who are getting up there closer to retirement, and suddenly they're no longer wanted in the workforce anymore. Or I'll talk to people and they'll talk about how they never talk to their families at all because, after all, their kids are just so busy. And so parents at this stage, the main thing that they need is they need affirmation. That's one of the biggest things at this point in their life. They need affirmation. And so you can affirm by a couple different ways. One is simply by staying in touch. That's absolutely a way to affirm, by staying in touch. And what I mean by that is a few different things. One is showing up, so actually visiting them. If they're local, then that's a very regular thing, right? If they're not local, then it means scheduling trips as often as possible. But it could also mean things like actually picking up a phone and calling. Or in this day and age, you can text. Or as well, I know a lot of people who are connected through social media, and they get to see pictures of their kids and grandkids. And that's a way of being connected. That's a way of staying in touch. But as well, things like the long-lost art of letters or cards. And so one way to affirm is and not abandon is to maintain this relationship. It's to stay in touch. But here's the thing, affirming also means listening to counsel and even asking for it. And so even though that you may have years of experience doing something, it's very affirming to go to your parents and actually ask for their advice on something, ask for their opinion. What would you do in this situation? Because think about what you're doing when you do that. What you're saying is, you're saying, hey, I recognize that you have knowledge in this area. And I'm seeking that. I'm seeking your knowledge. And it's a very positive way to affirm them. And see, and here's the thing. We don't have to do everything that they ask at that point in life. But, you know, maybe there's a few things that we can learn. There's a few things we can take away. You see, there is this tragedy in America. And this is why the Ten Commandments, and the more and more we get into the Ten Commandments, we'll see that they're just countercultural. They just are. See, our culture wants to go one way. Our culture wants to have one set of values. But ultimately, God's going to have an alternative. God's going to have a better way. And so with this commandment, honor our parents, in America, by and large, whenever we look at the elderly, we've, by and large, it's tempting just to cast them out, right? It's tempting to just expect the government to provide for them. But you know what? It's not the government's responsibility to care for our parents. No. And it's not even the church's responsibility if there's family around. You see, it's first and foremost the family's responsibility. And so caring for our parents at this stage, I mean, it really could mean things like feeding them. It could mean things like clothing them, basically how they provided for you when you were younger. Now, as we get older, the tables turn a little bit. But it could also be things like if they have a hard time changing their oil, it could be getting their oil changed. Or I'll share this quick story. My grandma had a really hard time changing light bulbs in her house. Because for me, I don't think about it. I just kind of get on a ladder and I go. But for her, I mean, that's actually kind of a big deal to change out light bulbs. And so for her, she had this one light went out in one of her rooms. And she was kind of too embarrassed or too timid or something to tell anyone. But as a result, she just experienced darkness in that room for like 4 months. And I just think about that and I think, why didn't you tell anyone? You know, that's what I was really thinking. But as well, it's just what a way to help, right? Something that we may not think is a big deal, but it can really help them out. It can care for them in that way. You see, it's first and foremost to the family to support and care for our parents. So here's what 1 Timothy 5:4 says. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. And so caring for our parents at this stage is showing godliness. That's what it means to live out the gospel. That's what it means to be a Christian, is to care for our parents at this stage of life. See, here's the deal. So we can look at this commandment about honoring our parents. And I know for sure whenever I first hear it, and whenever I talk to adults, when we first hear it, we all think to ourselves, that's right, kids, listen up. I like this commandment. But then we start diving into it and we start to realize the implications and how really what it means to honor our parents as we progress and go through different stages of life. And you know what? We realize that there's times that we've broken this commandment. There's times that God has instructed us, has commanded us to go and do one thing, and we've been neglectful, or we've actively broken this commandment. And you see, it reminds us of one person in the Bible who was completely obedient to his Father, and that was the person of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus, the Bible says he was so obedient that he was even obedient to death. And here's what he means, is that Jesus chose to go to the cross for us. He didn't have to. Now, it was his Father's will to go to the cross, but he didn't have to. He could have easily gotten off the cross, especially whenever they were mocking him. And they said, oh, if he's really the Savior of the world, then how come he can't just get off the cross or send down 1,000 angels? And guess what? He could have, but he chose not to. And so he actually chose to endure the suffering on the cross. And it's because of the cross, it's because of what he did for us on the cross, that the price for our sins are paid for. And so we can look at this fourth commandment here and say, man, I've broken this so many times. But we can rest assured that because of Jesus' obedience on the cross, that he paid the price for those sins. And that we can experience forgiveness and we can experience this new life. And as well, you know, speaking of Jesus on the cross, he was on the cross and he only said seven things, because I'm sure it would be really hard to talk on the cross, but he did. He said seven things, and out of all of the things he could have said, and only seven, one of the things that he said was he looked at his disciple John and said, John, care for my mother. And so right there on the cross, even Jesus is honoring his mom. And what a model that is, that we can look at that and we can say, you know what, that's how you honor, even at this stage of life. So God's promise is that because of the cross, that we can be forgiven and that we have this new life. And all God's people said, amen. And let us pray. And Heavenly Father, we indeed look at this commandment and we recognize, Lord, that for many of us, this is a very difficult commandment to follow. The idea of accepting and appreciating our parents and obeying them and affirming them at all different stages of life are really difficult. And so, Lord, we pray that we can apply these things and that we can submit to our parents and we can obey them. And Lord, we pray as well that we can use Jesus as a model of how he fully obeyed his father and cared for his mother even on the cross. And all this we pray. Amen.